bid you welcome again. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. We say it, but we say it sincerely. It's good. It's just good to get together. So thank you for coming today to assemble with one another and give our worship and praise to God. The lesson, as you know from the scripture reading, comes from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Now I'm going to tell you Nehemiah's story in our lesson this morning. I subtitled the lesson, Nehemiah's Leadership in the Midst of Opposition. And so in your notes, I put in the introduction also, any servant of God, and that's you and me, when we have a place of responsibility, we're going to face some opposition. Just as we sometimes people say, oh, it goes with the territory. If you take the leadership in something, rest assured, not everyone's going to appreciate it. You know, it's going to show itself in a variety of ways. There may be a vocal small group. There may be a vocal large group. The work itself might be questioned. Or the leader's motivation or motives might be questioned. Even the leader's ability might be called into question. Well, all of these things happened to Nehemiah. He assumed or takes on a position of leadership in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and sure enough, right from the start, there's opposition. He rallies the people together to rebuild the walls. Yeah. Put in your notes just by introduction or to a little bit of history. The story takes place about the year 450 B.C. Well, 150 years before that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded Jerusalem and destroyed it. Leveled the temple, the walls, the city walls, just destroyed it. And he had taken thousands of the Jews that were in Jerusalem back to the capital of Babylon, in Babylon, to be held captive. And they were held captive for 70 years, from 586 B.C. to 516 B.C. And during this captivity, the Babylonian Empire is defeated by the Persian Empire. And then it happened at the end of 70 years, Cyrus, king of Persia, issues a decree to allow the captives to return back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, the temple, and the city walls. The actual decree is in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, the opening verses. And so many of these Jews that were taken to Babylon now go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, the temple, and the city walls. Nehemiah's concern was for the city walls. So he rallies the troops for that. The character I put in your notes of Nehemiah is revealed in the first two chapters. Several things about him. Number one is his sympathy. In verse 4, he says, so it was when I heard these words. Remember, he asked the servant, what's going on in Jerusalem? He heard that the walls were torn down. So he says, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. A courageous leader, when he learns about his people or the people being in distress and reproach, is going to have a sad feeling about the situation. That's what leadership does. Oh, there's a problem. There's a sad situation. He cries and mourns. Because the city wasn't safe with the walls torn down. There was a need that existed. And then next he prays. So still in verse 4. I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. In verses 6 through 11, in his prayer, he confesses the sins of the people that led to the captivity. He thanks God for redemption. And he asked God, would you bless me in this work? Bring the people together, even those that were scattered afar off. And bless me in this work of going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. It's always good when you look at the example of Nehemiah for leadership to pray before the task. Yeah, we see sympathetic for the task. We fast, we pray. It's interesting that Nehemiah's sympathy showed on his face. He's serving in the king's court. Remember the last verse of chapter 1, that Nehemiah is the cupbearer in the king's court. And so now in chapter 2, verse 1, says Nehemiah speaking, you know, I've never been sad in the king's presence before. And so therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad since you're not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So Nehemiah says, may the king live forever. And why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste? And the gates are burned with fire. And the king said, what's your request? Oh. Well, Nehemiah's prayer is answered. And the king grants his request. In verse 6, it says that it pleased the king to send me. And then Nehemiah makes another request to the king in verse 7 of chapter 2. Let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah or Jerusalem. So, king, grant my request that I can go back and take some people with me to rebuild the walls. And would you give me letters so that I can have safe passages through all of these different territories? Yeah, I can grant that request too. Now the opposition starts. It's in verse 10, still of chapter 2. It says, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite heard it. They were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Uh-oh. Verse 11 says, so I, Nehemiah, came to Jerusalem. First thing he did as a courageous leader, he takes a few men with him and he goes out at night and views the walls that are torn down. Kind of spies out the camp. And then he makes a plan. And then second, after he's formulated a plan in his mind, he gathers the people together now. And in verses 17 and 18, still in chapter 2, it says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in? In other words, to the people, do you see what I see? Yeah. How Jerusalem lies in waste? Do you see that? And its gates are burned with fire? Yeah. He says, come. Let us, not just Nehemiah, let us build the walls of Jerusalem. And they said, let us rise up and build. Yes, Nehemiah, we see your leadership, we see your vision, we see the people in distress, and lead on, Nehemiah, we're with you all the way. And then it said, they set their hands to this good work. It's a good work to rebuild the walls of the city. Now here's the opposition. I listed them for you in your notes. First one is that they laughed at Nehemiah, you're going to do what? It's still in chapter 2, verse 19. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, Geshem the Arab heard it. Now you notice when it gives their culture, they're not the Jews. These are not the Israelites, you know, God's people. These are the people that are there, and these the Horonite, the Ammonite, the Arab. And it says, they laughed at us, despised us, and said, what is this thing that you're doing? Opposition right away, right from the start. Nehemiah has just made the plans, gathered the people together. Nehemiah says, let's build. The people say, let's build. Yeah. Uh-oh. They laughed at us. Nehemiah's response is in verse 20, still in chapter 2. The Lord God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. And then all of chapter 3, it's interesting, a whole chapter, is the organizational chart that's laid out with Nehemiah and the workers. And in chapter 3, you'll see that each worker had a task. And each worker is being listed as next to the next one. Their names are listed. This person next to this one, next to this one, this one next to this one. Let's rise up and build. Let's work together. You see, there Nehemiah had convinced the people there was a need for the work. Yeah. There was a work for everybody. Everybody, get in. The work was done by volunteers. It was a united work, all led by Nehemiah. Yeah, they laughed. But Nehemiah said, no, it's a good work. It's a good work. Second, Nehemiah, what's the opposition? Along with the laughter, they mocked him. Now it's in chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, after chapter 3 gives the organizational plan. Chapter 4, the tactics continue. Verse 2, and so it happened, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Verse 2, this is what he said. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they complete it in a day? He's mocking them. In verse 3, he adds to it. He says, whatever they build, even a fox will go up and down on it and break down their stone wall. Oh, mocking, laughing, laughed at him and mocked them. Nehemiah and the people kept building, stayed with the task. In verse 6, it says, so we built the wall up to half its height. And then the reason? For the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah leads the way. But the people said, oh yes, where the people are in distress, a reproach, I see the need, let us all together now, he says, let's rise up and build. They had a mind to work. The third tactic that the opposition gave was a physical attack. Let's just overpower them. It's in verses 7 and 8, chapter 4. So now it happened when, here they are again, same folks, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arab, the Ammonites, and now the Ashdodites come in too. They heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored. The gaps were beginning to be closed. They became very angry. And all of them, the opposition, yo, they gathered together too, like-minded. The opposition, all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Ooh, Nehemiah, you have some strong opposition. Well, verse 15. Well, it happened. I always like that phrase. It happened. But you know, God's hand is in this. It's in the next phrase. Verse 15. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us. In other words, we know your plans. And that God had brought their plan to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Oh, not just Nehemiah, not just a handful, everyone. Come, let us rise and build. They all had a hand in it. Yeah. Nehemiah still had a plan. And now after this, he has another prayer to God. In verse 16. And his plan was, after praying in verse 16, he said, half the people worked at construction, the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind. They were watching out. Set a watch. But look at all, but the workers, half were involved in construction, the other half, spears, the bows, the armor. Pray that attack might come. Verse 18. And every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And not only that, the next phrase is, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So Nehemiah had a trumpeter. And if the enemy was going to come, they would sound the trumpet and everyone would take their place. So half worked on construction with their girded with their swords. Half of them looked out, and the trumpeter stood at Nehemiah's side. Nehemiah had a plan. Yeah. And he prays again to God about it. And then in verse 20 says, and our God will fight for us. Yeah, God will fight for you, but you have your sword at your side too. And you have your bow, you have your armor, you have your trumpet. Well, they just didn't sit here and say, all right, God, do it. No. They all went to work. All of them. You see the character of Nehemiah? His leadership in the face of opposition? Remember the opening phrase? Any servant of God who takes on a responsibility is going to face some opposition. Yeah. Then number four, since they couldn't stop the work so far, they said, why don't we, Nehemiah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. It's in chapter 6 now, the opening verses. So now it happened. Phrase again. It happened, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies. Wow, they have a group too, don't they? That opposition, the leadership. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I'd rebuilt the wall, and there were no breaks in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, Nehemiah, let's meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. Nehemiah says, but they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them. And I said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? They sent the message four times, the verse says. Wow, not just once. You think when your enemies or the tactics come to you to stop your work and your labor of love, that they're only going to show up once? And you say, no thanks, but no thanks, that they're going to leave you alone? They said four times. Nehemiah, stop the work and come down and let's talk. And he said, I answered them in the same manner. So here's Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the enemies. They said, let's meet in the, I like the phrase, in the plains of Ono. Nehemiah says, Ono. Oh, no. We're not meeting in the plains of Ono. Then number five. Boy, it just keeps coming, doesn't it? Just keeps coming. Even if you've answered all of the tactics, you think, oh, got through that. Oh, here they come again. Here they come again. Number five, they have a letter writing campaign. A smear campaign. It's in chapter 6, beginning of verse 5. So now, then Sanballat, oh, there goes he again. Sanballat sent his servant to me as before. The fifth time. Man, three times? Four? Now five? Coming at me? With an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it's reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you, meaning Nehemiah, and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you're rebuilding the wall that you might be their king. Verse 8, Nehemiah, what are you going to do? Verse 8. Well, so then I sent to him. Right back at you, Sanballat. I sent to him, no such things as you say are being done. You invent them in your own heart. And then in verse 9, Nehemiah prays. He says, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah is going to do everything he can on his part. And then call upon God to do his part. God, help me in the opposition. Help me. Then the last one, number 6 in your notes. Someone comes to Nehemiah and says, you need to run for your life and hide in the temple. They're going to kill you. It's in chapter 6, beginning of verse 10. So afterward, I came to the house of Shimei, who was a secret informer. And he said, let's meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let's close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you, Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, should such a man as I flee? In other words, I'm leading all these people. What if I run? What do you think the people are going to do? Should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I'm not going to do that. Then, the resolution. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah. Oh, there we go again. That's Sanballat and Tobiah. I perceive that God didn't send him at all, but that he pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I might be afraid and act that way, meaning run to the temple, and sin, so that they would have cause for an evil report, that they might have a reproach against me. Ah, well done, Nehemiah. Figured out their motives, didn't you? Yeah, sure did. And then in chapter 6, the next verse, verse 15, after meeting these six that are listed areas of opposition, Nehemiah says, so the wall was finished. Finished. Then it goes to chapter 12. Then there's some sacrifices and rejoicing. And then chapter 12 ends about four or five chapters of just rejoicing and making sacrifices and thanking God. And then in chapter 12, verses 27 through 43, Nehemiah dedicates the wall. And when the wall was completed, two groups of people, one led by Ezra and the other led by Nehemiah. And they were together and each took a different direction around next to the walls all the way around the city. And when they met together on the other side, it says, that day they offered, in verse 43 of chapter 12, that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. God made them rejoice with great joy. The women, the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Ah, well done, Nehemiah. The walls were built in the midst of all that opposition. Well done. Leadership in the midst of opposition. And because the people had a mind to work, and they worked together, overcoming all the opposition, they rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. So when our task is completed, then we rejoice and we give our praise and sacrifice to God. So we began with that single sentence, any servant of God taking on a task or accepting a responsibility is going to face opposition. But stay in there. That's the lesson from Nehemiah. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation for one to become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins if you've not done so already. It's referred to as the Great Commission that Jesus gave right before he ascended back to the Father. We call it a Great Commission because it's a commission that goes out worldwide. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He tells his disciples, go into all the world. Don't leave anybody out. I have a good news message. I want you to tell everybody. Go into all, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want you to tell everyone a salvation message. And that's the invitation we extend at the close of each lesson that we present. Then start making your way to the front. We'll sing this invitation song. If you have not done so already, If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, please let it be known during the singing of the song by coming to the front and let your request be known, or at the close of the song, just hold your hand up and say, Brian, this is my request. So let's stand together and we'll sing this encouraging song of invitation.